Hello and welcome back to Japan Edge for all things Japan. Thank you so much for tuning in again. I have finally bought a new, much better, much more expensive mic, so hopefully my voice is sounding a little bit better. For those of you who are listening for the first time, welcome. This podcast channel attempts to explore Japan from various angles, touching upon the latest news or cultural topics with my personal perspectives and analysis. So with that, let's get started, and I hope you'll have fun listening. Demon Slayer fans, it's finally happening. The new TV season of Demon Slayer, Kimetsu no Yaiba, is starting on May 12th. It's dropping worldwide on Crunchyroll on the same day. So as with the previous releases, this will be the global premiere. This season is titled The Hashira Training, and it dives deep into the training sessions given by the seven leading slayers, the Hashiras, to our favorite characters, Tanjiro, Zenitsu, Inosuke, and the rest of the junior slayers. They are gearing up for the ultimate battle against the top demons and ultimately Kibutsuji Muzan. Today's podcast episode is not about the Demon Slayer per se. Those of you who have kindly been following my episodes may know by now that I always like to go one layer deeper into a topic. So today I'm going to take a step back and explore the roots of the demons. Demons, known as oni in Japanese, hold a deep and enduring presence in Japan's culture. I could honestly say that all Japanese child growing up in Japan have at least once read folk tales featuring oni as central figures, and there are also numerous cultural traditions and religious rituals that are dedicated to warding off the demons. The very beginning of our exposure to the concept of spirit came from ancient China, and it referred to the state of the afterlife. So originally, there were both good and bad spiritual beings. However, when this concept spread to Japan in the 8th century, it became intertwined with Buddhism, which coincidentally arrived in Japan around the same time. In Buddhism, there's a teaching known as the Sixth Path of Rebirth, which describes six different worlds that beings fall into based on their karma or actions in previous lives. Now, according to this belief, life is a cycle of rebirth, and individuals are continually born into different realms of existence based on their karma. So we cannot escape from this cycle until we attain enlightenment, and only then can we liberate ourselves from the suffering. In Buddhism, demons are associated with the world of hell, which is one of the six paths in this cycle. So, what originally began as a broad concept of afterlife spirits in ancient China came to specifically symbolize evil spirits in the context of Buddhism's teaching on rebirth and karma. And over time, the idea of oni, the demon, expanded to refer to someone unfamiliar or threatening. This word was first seen in Japanese literature written in the 8th century, referring to pirates and foreigners coming from ashore. But sadly, it was soon used to discriminate those perceived as different from the mainstream, even including babies born with deformities and women seen as prone to jealousy and rage. By the 12th century, demons became the central antagonist in various folktales and were described with specific physical characteristics representing different human sins. There are five different colors of oni: red, blue, yellow, green, and black. The red oni and the blue oni appear in folk tales the most, the red representing excessive lust and blue representing anger and resentment. Yellow oni represents weakness, green oni representing laziness and unhealthiness, and black, excessive grievances. So, as you can see, by this time, the image of oni, or demons, were pretty much fixed, ugly figure embodying the dark aspects of human nature. Now going back to the Demon Slayer, the main antagonist, the origin of all evil, Kibutsuji Muzan, was born in the 8th century Heian period, which, as I mentioned earlier, was the time when the concept of oni became prevalent in Japan. So this story matches with the actual historical myth. Muzan's tale started with a frail human boy desperate for a cure for his illness. He killed his medicine man out of frustration, thinking that his medicine wasn't working, only it was working. Muzan obtained eternal life and magical strength of a demon. But Muzan killed the medicine man, leaving the medication halfway finished, with one critical limitation, and that was that he was not able to live under sunlight. Muzan believed that if only he could find the source of this medicine, the flower, blue spider lily, he would be able to live under sunlight and have eternal life. And so he created a whole bunch of demon proxies to do the search for him, and that was how the next 1,000 years were spent. Muzan's army of proxy demons were all former humans turned into monsters by taking Muzan's blood. What adds depth to the story of the Demon Slayer is that some of these demons have had tragic pasts that were not of their fault. Born extremely poor or discriminated in a society full of injustices and unfairness, you cannot but feel for their sense of loss, their anger, their hate. There is weakness in all of us, and there are always people who would take advantage of the weaknesses by approaching them with a nice facade, only to use them for their own interests. We actually see this happening everywhere in the world today. Now, of course, the story makes sure to include demons who are just simply evil, vicious without any shred of doubt, Muzan being the ultimate one. But the story isn't about a simple dichotomy between the good and the bad. In order to avoid being a spoiler for those of you who have not read the comic books and are following the Demon Slayers through anime, I'm not going to talk about what is to come. But I just want to say that the demons' past will be revealed to us audience before they die. And, you know, I cried, literally sobbed with a box of Kleenex beside me for Akaza, the number 3 ranked demon, who was, if you remember, the one who killed Sengoku, the flame Hashira, in the movie The Mugen Train. So, of course, Akaza is evil and he needs to die. But what has turned him to become a demon is just heartbreaking. Another one, the final battle before facing Muzan, is against the number 1 ranked demon called Kokushibo. And his story will also be revealed. Now, unlike Akaza, his demise is pretty much due to his arrogance, his excessive pride, and his jealousy. But was he completely out of it? To have carried such negative thoughts? Were they unique to just him? Well, not really. I don't think so. And they are somewhat relatable, I think, to many of us. Of course, the story makes it clear that every person carries pain. And so pain doesn't excuse anybody from becoming a demon. People endure the pain, try to make the best out of the situation in the hopes of having better days in the future. But the line between demons and humans are often very thin. Oni was in fact created by the mainstream, identifying people who they believed should be outcasted, eliminated. Understanding or acceptance was not in their vocabulary. So our society might just never end creating demons. Lastly, I want to end today's episode by sharing with you a story written in 1933 about two demons, the Red Demon and the Blue Demon, and it's called The Red Demon Cried. Once upon a time, there lived a kind, good Red Demon living by himself. He was very lonely, and he had always wanted to be friends with human beings. So he put up a sign in front of his house, saying that he was a kind, gentle demon, so not to worry. Please come in for a snack and tea. But the villagers were all skeptical. No one trusted the Red Demon, and the Red Demon was heartbroken. He visited his friend, the blue demon and asked for his advice. Then the blue demon came up with an idea. He said, "How about me attacking the village and you save the village from me? That way, people would be convinced that you are a good demon." The red demon felt somewhat awkward, but the two went ahead with their plan. Sure enough, the villagers were scared as hell when the blue demon attacked the village, and they were equally thankful of the red demon for saving their lives, the outcome just as the two demons had planned. So the red demon was accepted by the villagers, and he was happy. But he realized that he hadn't seen the blue demon for a while. The red demon went to visit the blue demon, but he found an empty house, and the blue demon was nowhere to be seen. Then the red demon found a note on the door, addressed to him from the blue demon. The note said this: "I am off to a long journey, because if the villagers see you with me, they would think that you are a bad demon too. I will be far, far away, but I will never forget you. Be happy and take good care of yourself. Your friend always, Blue Demon." The red demon cried. I hope you enjoyed today's episode of Japan Edge. You know, I've been having so much fun preparing for my podcast episodes, and it has really made me think how I feel about certain things and issues. It's almost like rediscovering myself through my own podcast, and I sincerely hope that I'll be able to share many of my thoughts with you going forward. I've also started a YouTube channel where I will be uploading various videos together with my podcast episodes. So please do subscribe to catch the latest stories. So that's it for today. Until next time, またね。さよなら。